This is the Need to Know podcast from the Computer Information Agency with information for business and IT professionals. To support this podcast, visit donation.ciaops.com. This is episode 49 with Richard Tubb, James Kimberley and Owen Kane, and was originally recorded as a YouTube video and converted to audio for this podcast with permission.
Google Apps versus Microsoft Office 365. My name is Richard Tubb. I'm an MSP consultant from Birmingham in the UK, and I've recently moved from Office 365 to Google Apps. I've been a long-time Microsoft supporter, so that was a big move for me. Joining us today as well, we've got James Kimberley from Kimberley IT in the Midlands of the UK. How are you doing, James?
I'm good, Richard. Thank you for inviting me to the Hangout.
Cool. And also joining us, we've got Owen Kane from Canada.
How you doing? Hi, guys. Great. Thanks for inviting us.
Across in Australia, we've got Robert Crane. How you doing, Robert?
Cool. I'm here.
Cool. And we've also got joining us, although I think it's with fairly poor bandwidth because he's in rural UK, we've got Andy Parks from iBit Solutions in Coventry in the UK. Not sure if you can hear us or not, Andy. Okay, I think Andy will join us if he's available too. So to start the conversation then, Google Apps, Office 365. As I say, I've been using Office 365 for a couple of years and its predecessor BPOS as well. I recently moved across from Office 365 to Google Apps, and I'm interested, James Kimberley, as a Google Apps authorized reseller in the UK, are you finding there's many other people like myself moving across? What's the demand for Google Apps out there?
Well, it's really picked up, I'd say, from about halfway through last year. A lot more business owners that I chat to actually know what cloud computing is. They've heard of it. They've got an idea of what it is. That could be down to just basically knowing that Facebook is a cloud service and that you can store your photos on it. And they're getting more interest in it, especially as we target younger companies like Creative Green and technology companies. A lot of their employees have already had experience of using web-based email, web-based calendars. So the move over to Google Apps from Outlook is a natural move for them because they're just used to that interface and having everything online and just using web browsers.
And in your opinion, what are the best features of Google Apps over something like Office 365?
Mine is just the fact that it's pure cloud. All you need is a browser to use everything on it. You don't need to have additional programs running on the computer. For example, like Link is a separate program needs running while you've got that all built in with Google Hangout and Google Talk, which is just a browser-based HTML5 program. It doesn't need anything extra running on the machine.
Owen, if we can turn to you for a moment. So you're also an authorized Google Apps reseller based in Canada. How are you finding business in Canada for Google Apps over there?
Well, it certainly, as James said, it certainly has picked up in the last year. One thing about us Canadians is we seem to, because we're close to the United States, maybe it's a mistrust thing, I don't know, but certainly we're a little bit less chance of us running out and just grabbing it. It's something that I find that is, regardless of which platform it is, as far as the cloud's concerned, it's a learning curve for everybody. One of the interesting points is that it's rather a big educational exercise with the customers that I'm running into, in that they are actually quite surprised at what you can and what you can't do in the cloud.
Clients, are you seeing? James mentioned it tends to be younger companies, people who are perhaps already used to the cloud. Are you seeing that same trend, or are you seeing a wide variety of perhaps established companies moving to the cloud?
What I'm finding is the younger people are certainly already in the cloud. In other words, the younger guys that are starting out already either have, well, most of them are basically Google, and that's strictly because, you know, they use it in university or a high school or whatever it might be, or they have a personal Gmail account. That said, the tough ones is the older guys like myself, staunch legacy type things, in-house servers, that realm. They are the tough sell. But slowly but surely, you know, they see a guy like me coming along and saying, well, if he can grasp it, maybe we can too. So I think, you know, I regardless of what it is, I find it is just a big eye-opener for the potential clients that we reach out to. What they see is they're just blown away.
Yeah, it's got a wow factor about it.
So it does.
Now, this on-air hangout is not an advert for Google Apps. I'm impressed with it. I've turned to it, but I was an Office 365 user for a long time, and BPOS before that. Mm-hmm. So I want to turn to you, Robert Crane, if I may. How are you finding business, first of all, with clients in Australia moving to the cloud? And I know you're one of the sort of worldwide renowned experts on SharePoint, which is an element of Office 365. So how are you finding the whole Office 365 area of business in Australia?
Well, I think that the general point that everybody's finding is that it's now being driven by the customer. So whether it's Google or whether it's Microsoft or whether it is something else, the majority of what we're finding is the customers are coming to the resellers and saying, you know, we want to move to cloud because primarily it's cheaper, two, it's more flexible, and three, you know, it gives us that mobility that we really haven't had before. So at the end of the day, what I'm finding is that there is just so much request for the cloud. It's been driven by customers, rightly or wrongly. Where we're getting the delay generally is the resellers. The resellers have been very slow to move into the technology. Many of them are still twiddling their thumbs. And at the end of the day, there's just not going to be as much opportunity for those who lag behind the system because, again, take the example of SharePoint. Traditionally, it would take a minimum, say, 10 days from the day you walk in there and quote somebody a SharePoint server, walk away, order the equipment, get it delivered, get it run up. If I walk in there with a hosted application, be it whatever, from whomever that SharePoint is provided, I can give them a trial immediately, and I can ring them back and convert them the next day. That's the speed of things are happening on the internet. And if you're not in it now or you're not thinking about it, you're going to lose out. At the end of the day, it's not a matter of picking a camp. It's not a matter of doing one or the other. You can certainly mix both. There's areas for both, and different ones suit different clients. Again, it's a matter of going and looking at the client and saying, what do you need, what suits your needs, and presenting the best technology solution to them. And again, unfortunately, a lot of the technology providers we know and deal with, they're locked in the old world, and then some of them tend to get locked into one platform. I think that, again, to me, the most powerful cloud provider out there in the world at the moment is Amazon. Amazon is just cleaning up. Again, they're focused on the customer. They've got an end-to-end solution. Their Kindles are fantastic. They limit what they do, but they are growing exponentially. So, again, to me, that's the ultimate cloud provider that's, again, aimed at the consumer. So, to me, the secret is it's coming from the consumer.
That's a really good point, Robert. And we've titled this hangout Google Apps versus Office 365, very confrontational. The point I really wanted to bring up here was that people are moving across to cloud services. So I'm interested in your opinion, if we can just continue for a moment, Robert. Why are so many IT companies, I was going to say scared, but at best really reluctant to move across to cloud services or even to start the conversation with their clients about cloud services?
I think the majority of them are technicians. The majority of them are most comfortable, fiddling with stuff that they can see and touch. I think that they firstly have a fear that they're going to lose control. Most of them have controlled the client from end to end. They don't want to surrender any part of that control. They want the full billing, everything to come from them. That's just not a reality. If you want a phone system, you go to Vodafone. If you want another different phone, you change provider. It's all about portability. Same with the cloud provider. You know, Google has the data liberation front. It's easy to get data in and out. It's easy to migrate data using something like migrationaries. I mean, that's just the environment. But again, I think most providers, unfortunately, have survived on the skills they've got. And you know what? The internet revolution's finally got round to the technology sphere. It's you know, done the music, it's done the videos and the movies, the books. Now it's got to technology. And you know what? It's going to do the same thing it did to every other industry. 80% of providers just aren't going to make it. They're just not going to be able to change their business model quick enough. And that's where you're seeing the struggle. And a lot of the stuff I see is you know, resellers kicking and screaming and making up all these excuses. And I say, fine, I understand that. Yes, there are problems. There are issues with all providers. But you know what? Deal with it and move on. I mean, SBS, Small Business Server, was a good example that I started out with on my career. When that came out, that product was a real piece of crap. You know, it really was thrown together. It was a struggle, but it served the market and it survived and moved on to be what the good product we know today. But if you work with it initially, it was a real dog to work with. But people survive, and you know, and again, that was a big change because before you had enterprise products, enterprise people wouldn't touch it. But you know what? SBS still survived. So again, I think you've got to look at it in context and sort of say, you know what? If you want to move with that technology, you've got to take the risk. You've got to re-educate yourself, and you've got to, you know, look at it from a business point of view. At the end of the day, if you want to stay in business, how are you going to make money? That's going to require that you're probably going to have to reskill in this new environment.
And it's interesting you bring up a Small Business Server. So like yourself, Robert, my MSP business, when I ran that going back a few years, we were really focused around Small Business Server. But we weren't focused around SBS as the product. SBS was the preferred product that filled the client's needs. And when Microsoft announced the retirement of SBS, last year, there was a huge outcry from a lot of companies. And as far as I can see, the people who were really, really upset about it were those IT companies that had built their business around selling SBS. Now, I'm interested in everybody's take on this, and we'll move to you in turn. But as far as I'm concerned, we talk about Google Apps versus Office 365 here. Actually, what we're talking about is selling cloud services to a client. So if I was to run an MSP again tomorrow, I wouldn't sell on a product. I think I would sell on the solution. So it could be easily interchangeable between Google Apps, Office 365, Amazon services, whatever else comes along. So I'm going to turn to James in the first instance if I can. You're a Google Apps authorized reseller. And I'm not dismissing the fact that you need to sort of narrow your colours a little bit to the mast here. Jim, where do you see things going in the future with Google and the alternative products, and how do you see your business changing?
I think more of them will become pure cloud products. So stuff like 365 will become more pure. It'll be more browser based without the necessary applications. Google Apps, again, they're all constantly changing all the time. There's new stuff comes out weekly on these products because it's so easy to update them. It's just building a service around providing that knowledge of how these work, because it's totally different in that the stuff's no longer on site. You're no longer got a server that you need to manage hardware-wise and stuff like that. It's all cloud, and you're just providing the best solution for the business that suits them. And again, it's a knowledge service that we're in, a knowledge business about knowing what is going to work for that client. And I think you'll probably find there'll be like maybe four main players in cloud services. You'll get a few smaller ones. You'll get ones like Dropbox, which are going to have issues because they don't have their own infrastructure. They use Amazon for it, so they're not going to be able to compete on price. So there will be a few main players that have their own data centers offering these cloud services.
And Owen, if we can turn to you, same question really. So I know you're a Google Apps authorized reseller, but I know you've had a history with Microsoft products and other things within your business there. How do you see your business makeup at the moment, and how do you see it changing going forward?
Good question. I guess we really had a choice. We could have been both, really, I guess, both Office 365 and Google. But really what it came down to was, at the time, there was really, for us, was only one solution that brought everything together. In other words, it was what I found was important was I could get it on my phone, I could get it on my tablet, I could get it on my desktop. Whereas with some of the other products out there, I didn't have that at the time. But it's changing, and I don't think we can be everything to everybody. You have to pick one or the other. Where do I see it going? I agree with James. I think we're going to see a big move to more browser-based products. Certainly, I'm intrigued with the Surface tablet. I don't know where that's going to head, but it's interesting to look at. We saw the Pixel come out last week. You know, certainly one expensive laptop or netbook, if you want to call it. But, you know, it begins to show the potential that's out there. So do I see any one big player here? No. I see many. And I think it really will come down to whoever has the all-encompassing infrastructure. And that is, you know, I can get it on my phone, I can get it on my tablet, I can get it on my browser, I can get it on wherever, and have the same experience. That's where the excitement is. And from a business perspective, that's really what it's all about. It's not Google, it's not Microsoft, it's not Amazon. It's a business solution. So I can basically go out as a small businessman, mid-size, and pick anything right now and say, you know, that's what I'm going to hang my hat on. It all comes down to, and I guess basically it comes down to dollars too, more than anything else.
Yeah. I think that's a really good point. I sent my email newsletter out last week, and the title of it was The End of Fashion IT. And the point I made... Yeah, I think the point I made within the newsletter was that if it's not already happened, it's happening. When you're speaking to clients, the days of speaking to them in sort of a uber geeky technology talk, much as we love it, are gone if they're not dead and buried already, because clients just want to know how much it's going to cost, how it's going to help them save money or make money, what it's going to do for their business. So I think that the technologies are interchangeable. And it's on that point that actually we'll go back to the Google Apps versus Office 365 again for a moment. Now, if you throw that question at people, most people talk about hosted email effectively. And I'm going to turn to you, Robert Crone, if I may, that I think most people, when they talk about Office 365, they talk about hosted Exchange. Certainly, I've been a Microsoft partner for a number of years, and although there's other components to it, SharePoint, Link, Live Meeting, I only ever really use the hosted Exchange side of things. When I moved to Google Apps, it was because I wanted all of the other features that went with it. Are you seeing IT companies, or let me rephrase that, are you seeing end users looking at Office 365 as a really cheap way to host email, or are they being aware of the greater potential of it?
Well, I think the starting point for anybody, the easy low-hanging fruit, is to move email. Email for most IT providers is a pain in the butt. It just keeps growing, requires patching, needs, you know, hygiene services. So again, you know, the first thing that you can move off premises is basically email. And it's a relatively easy task to do that using, you know, again, something like Migration Wiz or copy and paste or whatever. So, again, that's the low-hanging fruit. Now, you know, if you're a reseller and you offer that service, you've done the migration, what more do you do? You know, where's the upsell from that? You provide an email right. service. Now, where's the service? So you've got two options here. The first option is you upskill yourself and you look at selling the higher end Exchange or email features, so things like archiving, rules, messaging, e-discovery. You become an expert in that, clients will then use your skills. But most resellers have said, no, we just copy and paste emails and we run out the door. Again, the same with any cloud product. You know what? there's huge opportunity in SharePoint. There's huge opportunity in project management. Look at something like 37signals and Basecamp and all those sort of apps. I mean, again, clients generally have not got the experience in these products, and they're screaming out for resellers or people to come to them and say, look, we need a guiding hand. What works best for us? What's the best effective? You know, and it's like same with any technology. Back in the good old dark days of, you know, office productivity software, what's the best option? WordPerfect versus Lotus 1-2-3 versus, you know, Word. I mean, at the core of it, customers still need assistance. I mean, the landscape and the opportunities perhaps differ, but on the other side of the coin is you know what? It's so much easier to provide this service to a market beyond what you're traditionally used to. So now, any of us here can sell our services to a global audience as we are now broadcasting. So again, I think this is the limitation that so many resellers look at. They think, you know what? I can only get to customers I can drive to, and guess what? I'm only going to sell, you know, that's the limit that I can sell them cloud services, and I can only sell them, you know, Exchange Online, or I can only sell them, you know, hosted email. Now, at the end of the day, they're missing a huge opportunity.
Absolutely. Owen, I turn to you. What are your thoughts on that same subject? Is it about the technology? Is it about the apps, or is it about the business consultancy that you can bring to it? Why do clients work with KRS?
Well, I like to think that it's not the technology and it's not the products, it's the solutions. I think it's a great opportunity. Rather than being a quasi-outsider with my clients, now what I'm finding is I'm an insider. So rather than me bringing in a piece of technology to them, I'm really bringing in a solution. And the solutions that are out there are huge. I mean, all you have to do is hit any one of the marketplaces, be that, you know, Google Apps or Google Play or whatever it might be. And that's in our case. And I'm sure on the Microsoft side, that will happen as well. But the multitude of products, I mean, CRM, you know, unified communications, bring in VoIP in, bring in your PBX system into the browser. Once you bring all those products together and you can show them to the clients, then you have a true solution. And it's a solution that we've all been struggling for. I mean, if you think about it, look at your articles you've written before where you talk about owning the customer. This is truly what we've become. I mean, if resellers look at it, they say, you could actually look at this and say, I truly own the customer now. They're coming to me for the solutions. And the interesting thing is, one of the biggest headaches we've had has been the free portion of Google Apps. And again, once you walk into that client and you begin to show them what you can add, you quickly get them moving over to the paid-for version, because there's just so much you can bring to the picture. It truly is a revolutionary change, and I listen to other groups that I've been involved with, and the first thing that they're talking about is they're so afraid of losing business. They're so afraid of losing that client and the touch on them. I think they've just got to get over it. They really do.
I couldn't disagree at all, Owen. And I often speak about IT companies who, let's be a little bit cruel here and say they stick their head in the sand and ignore what's going on with cloud services. And I see this time and time again where IT companies won't speak to their existing clients about cloud services because they think if they do, the client is likely to say, yeah, we want cloud, and move away from the on-site solution. I understand where they're coming from with that. The opposite, the flip side of that coin is if they don't speak to their clients about cloud, I guarantee you one of their competitors will do, and then right. Suddenly it's going to be the case of, oh wow, we didn't, you know, we're going to move across to Google Apps, we're going to move across to Office 365 with your competitor. Hey, we do that. Oh well, we never knew that. So well,
The interesting thing is what Robert said earlier on, and I think the word he used was technicians. And if you look at it, I mean, my experience, I've made the comment MSPs are dead. Now, that might be a little bit extreme. And not in the sense that MSPs are dead because the technology's dead. Their model is dead. And they have to move away from it. I mean, you and I had that discussion, I think, a year or so ago, where we talked about, you know, doing managed services for the workstations rather than the servers. And in that case, that really worked out well for us. It brought us into a totally different realm. But, yeah, I think what Robert said earlier was very, very true. They're technicians, and they deal with the pieces. And as long as they can deal with pieces, they're fine. But really, you know, bringing the solution to the table is really what the business guy is after.
Yeah.
Talking
in terms that the business owners understand instead of talking in what we're all comfortable with, talking in the techie geeky terms. So the good news for people who are comfortable just fixing stuff is data centers are growing and there's going to be plenty of work for people who want to maintain Exchange servers and Google App servers, I think. So.
All they want.
Just a quick analogy. I think at the end of the day, what we're looking at is it's a utility. It's now become a utility, which means that like power, like water, like gas, it's spread over a lot of users. There's a minimum level of provide, but you know what? The only way you make money is through volume if you're just looking at reselling the utility. But that's the model that you have to look at. It's no more a specialized skill. You know, name me, I can name you, you know, probably 100,000 15-year-olds that I play Xbox Live with who are more skilled technically than I am now. You know, they can go out and do all this sort of stuff as well. It's about the business because the utility is just so easy to replicate.
Exactly. Very good.
There's an interesting point in there, so I'll talk about my experiences of moving from Office 365 across to Google Google Apps. Now, obviously, I ran an MSP. I would like to think, even though I hardly don't really get my hands dirty anymore, I'd like to think I still keep my hand in technology, so I know my way around it. I had no problems at all looking at the migration process from Office 365 to Google Apps. It didn't scare me in the slightest. Yeah, I reached out to James Kimberly at Kimberly IT as a Google Apps reseller, not because I thought the technology process would be too difficult, but I wanted somebody who I could say, hey, this is my existing process within Outlook, within Office 365. I want to replicate that really quickly within Google Apps. I know it's capable of it, but can you show me how to do it? So I think the point I'm trying to make there is that it for me, it wasn't about the technology process. It was about the business process side of things. And James Kimberly, if I can turn to you for a minute, do you find that typical? Perhaps I'm a little bit unusual in that I'm an IT person speaking to you as a client. The clients you deal with, are most the questions around the technology, or are most of the questions around how do I use the technology to implement my existing business process?
For me, it's been mainly around about the technology. They've been used to using Outlook for years and years and years. And there's going to be a new interface. I guess it's what you had, the bit of apprehension about moving from a completely different interface that you've been used to for years. You know how it works. You've done everything to a new interface. That's what I normally get questions about. It does seem to be with older people on that one. As I said, younger people are used to web interfaces from university, like Owen mentioned earlier. But it's not really about the business process at all. We have to bring that up about how data is going to be backed up, how it's going to be stored, how you're going to start sharing documents regarding Google Apps. For them, it's what they can see on their screen, what's visually changed. They don't really care about how the back end of that program works. They just want to have a quick switch over, be able to use the new interface as easily as possible. The nice thing about a lot of stuff on, especially on the calendar app, that's very similar to Outlook, just with a bit extra features for sharing and adding attachments to your calendar invites. Gmail is the one that we get the most apprehension over, mainly because of the conversational view, which isn't turned on by default in Outlook. But as soon as you explain that conversational view is the same way your text messages come through on your phone, People get it. We do have a couple that just don't get the conversational view, so they turn that off. But it's as I've mentioned to you before, we don't offer the Outlook plugin. We try and get everyone to use the Gmail interface because they're going to get a lot more benefit over the year because in the future because that's what the changes are going to be. It's also a lot more powerful than Outlook, the embedded maps, the embedded YouTube videos automatically. So yeah, we refused to do the Outlook integration for the first month. So if someone's really struggling, we'll then go in and try and get them to show them what they're struggling with Gmail. It's only in very, very rare circumstances that we'll install Outlook. Even the customers that haven't got quite used to Gmail interface, when we give them the option, do you want us to plug Outlook in? Do you want to go to that? They'll seem to all stick with Gmail, even though so there's something there that they like about. They're obviously getting more value over Outlook, but then themselves aren't too sure what it is. So it's just trying to work that out and getting it all nice. But it's all about, for them, it's all about the interface, what they see, what they use. Behind the scenes, they're not too fussed about that, and that's something we have to bring up, which I think I saw Owen nod when I mentioned that. So I don't know if that's something you're having to do about how Google Apps works behind the scenes.
Yeah, I mean, if we can turn to you then, how are you finding when people are moving from traditional sort of on-site solutions to Google Apps? What are the main hurdles you're helping people overcome?
The main hurdle, I guess, would really be the concept of not having documents on site. To me, mail is mail. You know, whether you're using a Gmail client or Outlook client, it's still mail. So that's really neither here nor there. It's the concept of not having, I mean, that's one of the biggest hurdles we have, is not having your stuff on site. That is a little bit something that's very, very tough for some people to get used to. So yeah, that's the biggest part. And I think how we get around that is we'll basically turn around and say, the other side of the coin is that if you have to have backup, you're going to have off-site backup, so you're going to have it off-site anyways. So, you know, what the difference is you don't have to think about it anymore. It's already backed up. It's that simple.
Yeah.
But I mean, unlike James, I'm not going to, or we don't push the Gmail client onto people. If they want the Outlook, we'll put it in. But what we find is, surprisingly, is once they see their coworkers working in the browser, and once they start working in the tablets and things like that, they begin to look at it and say, okay, it's time to move over. And it happens. Yeah. The biggest part about this whole thing with the cloud, though, and it really goes way back into the legacy systems, is unless you've got buy-in, it doesn't matter whether it's Office 365 or it's Google or it's Amazon or whatever it is. If the users don't want to use it, it isn't going to work. It's that simple. So one of the other things what a lot of the resellers are forgetting, or a lot of the MSPs or computer suppliers are forgetting, is it's the training side too. And it's a place where you can really shine and where you can really make some dollars.
Absolutely. Could not disagree for a moment. And I mean, going back to the conversation when I engaged with James to help me with the migration there, it wasn't to do with really for the technology. It was to do with somebody to sit down and say, here's how you do this, here's how you do that, and for me to ask questions one-on-one. That's invaluable for me. So, Robert, if I can turn to you for a moment then, and I'm going to bring up a point about myself, and I think you're probably with me on here. I was a die-in-the-wool Outlook user. I couldn't imagine moving away from Outlook. Not because of the on-site versus cloud debate, but I was just so used to use it working in that interface. And wow, I gave up Outlook, and a day later I didn't miss it. In fact, I was like, good rinse to it. So I turned on it really, really quickly. And I guess my question to you is, do you think that for people like myself who are die-in-the-wool Outlook and Office workers, is there going to be a real challenge for them to move to the mentality of working within a web browser? And how is that going to cause conflicts with this new generation that are coming up that think it's crazy that we have desktop applications? They're just used to working within the browser anyway.
first comment I'll make is that I think one of the things that we may have overlooked here, that one of the major limiting factors of the cloud experience, depending, you know, irrespective of a provider, is bandwidth. Okay, a lot of customers do not have suitable bandwidth to do much more than basic emails. Okay, so
that's a good point.
I think that's one of the biggest things that's holding a lot of businesses back is a lot of them don't have good bandwidth and a lot of them can't get good bandwidth. Now it's always improving, but their experience going from 100 megabit or a gigabit internally to an ADSL style broadband connection can be very poor. And they can't understand that basically, you know, the broadband's not good enough. So I think that's something we need to keep in context for all cloud applications. To answer your question, at the end of the day, you use the tool which you're most comfortable with. And again, as the older you get, the less likely you are to move because you think you're more productive in the older, you know, the older application. But again, part of it is that this is part of the Blinkered mentality is that there are so many applications out there, are so many apps that do such a good job. The important thing is you need to find the app that does what you need. So again, it's not about the technology, it's about understanding what you need to do. And my counter to all that is, you know what? Email's 18th century now. Young people don't use emails, they post on walls, they put on Facebook, they use Yammer, they use all these sort of tools. So you know what? Your email's going the way of the dinosaur, so move on with it. Again, it's a matter of saying, what do I need to achieve? What are the best tools? And you know what? I don't know as a business person, I need a technology provider to answer those questions. But you know what? These technology providers don't seem to know. So again, this is where the opportunity lies. And again, I remember a day when every provider I knew was installing betas, running up test machines, putting on Windows 95 and crashing in blue screen, and they loved it. You just don't see that anymore. Okay,
right.
They're siloed now. And a lot of that is, again, limiting the factor. And you know what? It's so easy to get all this cloud stuff and get it going. You know, I've got a million Google, you know, applications running. I've got Evernote. I've got, Basecamp. I've got all these applications that I'm constantly testing. Sure, there's a group that I prefer and I like. That's fine. It works for me. But I'm not Blinkered enough to basically say, you know what? This won't work for you. You know, if you think, if you like the Gmail interface and it works on all your phones, that's great. Because at the end of the day, I'm about productivity. That's where I'm going to make money. That's where a business is going to respond to me because I'm helping a business make money or save money.
Exactly.
Okay, I'm about the I, not about the T. Right? So IT needs to move away from being technology-based to being information-based. It's as simple as that. Those that make the transition will move on, will make great amounts of money, but you know what? There's just not going to be that many of them anymore.
And you know, one of the interesting things here about this is where you've got some, and I'm going to use this term, middle-aged IT managers. I hope I don't get myself into trouble for that. But where you're seeing business owners who are of my age, and I'm, you know, let's say, you know, mid-50s, who are trying to run their businesses and who are listening to the IT people who are in the, you know, 35, 40 year of age realm, and they are dealing with on-premise systems. What we're finding is these business people are coming back and looking at it and asking them, why aren't we in the cloud? Why aren't we more social media savvy? And these IT guys are having a tough time with it. They really, really are. And I listened to Robert there, and I think he's just so true. Let's take the technology away from it and just leave the I. It's all about information and spreading it across the enterprise as cheaply and as effectively as you can.
It's interesting to see. I attend a lot of user groups here in the UK and like to get around the IT community or the MSP community here. And going back to what we said earlier about the last year when Microsoft announced the retirement of Small Business Server, there was a big uproar about it. And I wrote a blog post, and it still gets, you know, lots and lots of visitors today. I was like, well, goodbye SBS, hello to a world of alternatives. There's alternatives that we've already talked about, Google Apps. We've got Office 365. There's technology by a company, Kerio, for instance, have got some great products out there, mm-hmm. really cool things. At the time, people were up in arms about SBS being released. I'm like, well, chill out. You know, there's plenty of alternatives already. The interesting thing as I go around user groups is the conversation is still around, oh my God, SBS is being retired. You know, we're a year on, almost a year on from that announcement, or certainly a few months on, and people are still not looking at alternatives, are still not looking at different ways of thinking. They're just stuck where they were, don't want to move on. So I guess I'm going to turn to you, James, because I know you're one of the most vocal proponents of this, and in fact you've had some fun at my expense because we've known each other for a little while and you've talked to me about Google Apps, and I've said, yeah, maybe in the future, and now you have a good laugh because, you know, I'm talking about Google Apps at every turn. But I'm interested, when you sit in those user group meetings, as I know you do, and everybody's talking about the problems of on-site solutions, what's going through your mind? And secondly, how do you manage to keep quiet most of the time and instead of telling everybody the wrong?
I'm just amazed with all the problems they have that they're still sticking with that, and they're not looking around. They seem to want to completely ignore the cloud. They've got their own business model that's worked for them for years. They're making money from that, but they don't realise, or they're denying themselves that it's dying. That's not going to be around. They need to move on and start looking at the cloud. A good example is whenever I do a presentation at any of these user groups that I've been to, regarding Google Apps, there's always a lot less turnout for cloud presentations. But as soon as someone from Microsoft comes along about server or how to migrate, there's a huge influx of people coming along to see a presentation about basically legacy technology that isn't going to be around in a few years' time. It's going to be cloud, and we'll have to see if their businesses will be around unless they start moving quickly. Because there's a couple of businesses that I know that are complete cloud deniers who it's servers for them in a small business server in your office, nothing else. They just don't want to acknowledge the fact that the world of I, as we're calling it now, information is changing, and it's going to the cloud. It's cheaper for the end user. It's more efficient. You've got the same interface on any device. It's all synchronized. It's just so many more bonuses over this old legacy stuff, and it's just around business models. They're too scared to move on, but they seem to be too scared to even look and consider what they could be going to.
Yeah.
Go ahead,
Robert, please.
Can I just have a quick conversation on that? Is the Microsoft model, from what I see, is the two ends of the spectrum. There's no middle ground. Okay. Right. So what they're doing is Microsoft's moving, for example, to creating a single version of the software. That version of the software is enterprise. It's going to have all the bells and whistles and all the features. In the bad old days, the only way you could buy the enterprise software was thousands of dollars, and it went into the large businesses. Okay. Now, Microsoft's still making that available to the large businesses, and you can still do it on-prem, but it's still going to cost you lots and lots of money to do. But now the small businesses and the smaller providers want the same features and functionality. So the only way that it can be provided on the same product is to put it into a hosted and a shared platform. So again, what Microsoft's saying is, guys, we're now going to build a single solution. If you want on-prem, this is what it's going to cost, and it's aimed at enterprises. You can use that same software, but you know what? You're going to have to do it through a cloud, through a shared provider, and this is the way we're going to keep the cost down. So instead of paying thousands of dollars up front and potentially per month to maintain these systems, you can pay less than $10 to get access to exactly the same features basically through the internet. So that's the model that's happening. You're losing the middle ground, so it's going to the extremes of either end. So if you're a small business, really the only cost-effective option is the cloud model.
Right. And that brings up a point, and probably a good question across the board here would be, what about what I call the crutch solution, which is a combination of on-premise and a cloud? It's certainly something that I'm finding a lot of, I'll use the word competitors, are using. The question is be in the cloud, and hey, you've got your on-premise system as well.
I think the biggest issue I see that's holding cloud back, apart from the bandwidth, is federated identity. Okay, so basically I want to have to log into my workstation with the same identity I'm used in the cloud, consistent across all my devices. And it's there to an extent with a lot of applications, but it's not quite there. So I think that that's the missing piece. I think once we get a reliable two-factor system that everybody trusts, that we can all log into, that's consistent across the board, so we see Facebook logins, we see G Plus logins on a lot of sites, Twitter logins, we haven't got that single or those main identities. I think that's being sorted out. But once we get that single sign-on ability across our all the cloud applications, so instead of using, you know, multiple logins for multiple services, we can just choose one of three majors, and that works across everything. So I think, again, that's what potentially is holding us back, but that's fast coming to an end with a lot of the identity solutions okay. we're now seeing out there.
I think that's an awesome point, and actually it leads into one of the reasons I moved from Office 365 to Google Apps was because I was seeing this wealth of third-party technologies there. They're really, really cool tools that can make my job a lot easier. And they all worked with Google Apps. Specifically, and I see Facebook doing this, I see Google doing this really, really well. You know, there's a third-party tool, and you don't need to sign up for a username and password with it, an account with it. You just sign in with your Google Apps account, and you've immediately got an account. It's a one-click process. Microsoft, for the most part, I see not doing that so much. Say with Office 365, it literally is hosted email. Oh, and by the way, we've got on-prem applications, like Link and things that we've sort of thrown in there and surrounded there. So the biggest reason. Sorry, Robert, go ahead.
I was just going to say the thing is, what you've got to look at this is Google and Microsoft come at this from different ends. Google's been a total cloud provider since day dot. They're coming from that end of the spectrum. Microsoft has been a traditional on-prem. That's where their cash cow is. And both of these companies are commercial organizations. They need to make money. Okay? That they're responsible to their shareholders. Okay, so Microsoft can't alienate everybody. And again, both of them are in the public eye. So Microsoft's got to look at it and say, you know, how can we maintain our on-prem stuff and provide the security and do all this sort of stuff that we need, given the infrastructure, given the majority of resellers still need to have this hybrid or this, you know, infrastructure, this on-premise solution, where Google perhaps doesn't, you know, hasn't got that legacy. So again, I think it's a matter of, it's very easy to judge when you're standing in the middle, but again, you've got to look at this from the point of view as both of these companies are moving towards the middle, are moving towards very common ground, and they're just coming at it from different roads. And I think they both will get there. It's just that they have different heritage. That's all it is.
Yeah.
And part of all that too, though, is I look at the two companies, and Microsoft, now it may have changed. It may have changed in the last couple of years. I'm not sure. But what I find interesting is how Google go about their advertising and getting the word out, and how Microsoft do. And I find that Google I'll say this, and I'm sure James will agree with me, is they're terrible at it. They get the word out really in a browser type environment. Okay, I mean everything as far as Google is concerned is in the cloud. Whereas Microsoft, you still get the print material, you still get the CDs, you still get the TV ads, which you don't see with Google. And certainly that's one of the things that I find very, very frustrating is people do not know what Google's about. They really don't. They just see it as cloud.
Quick comment on that. If you've read the book called the Googleplex, which I can't remember off the top of my head who it's by, if you read in there, Google's philosophy is Google builds better applications, users support users. Okay? So the Google mentality generally is the community supports the community and helps, you know, build the products helps support others, while Google focuses its resources on building better product. Great model and certainly can work. And I think that's the difference is Microsoft has had traditional resellers which bought shiny round things and put them in machines and installed them. So again, they're moving towards a different, the same location, but they're coming from different angles. And Microsoft can't turn around, for example, and alienate all its resellers because that's the base that it's going out to. So it's got to tread carefully, But at the end of the day, I still honestly believe they're both moving to the same location. And again, this is why you get a lot of the yanks from resellers saying that Microsoft's cutting us out, they're getting rid of SBS, they're ruining my business. Well, mm-hmm. the business reality is that that's the way all the other competitors are going, so they need to do the same.
All right, I think that's a good point. That book is In the Plex, How Google Thinks, Works and Shapes Our Lives by Stephen Levy. That's the book, wasn't it, Robert?
That book is not available on Google Play.
So we're approaching the end of our time, I think, guys. This has been absolutely fascinating, I think, to get all of your opinions. I consider you all experts in your particular fields there, so it's been great to get together. So in the last sort of 2-3 minutes that we've got, I'd just like to go for maybe a closing statement from each of you, if we can, and just your thoughts on what we've talked about today. And if I can start with you, James Kimberley.
I was hoping you'd start the other way around, so I'd have a bit of time to think about it. It's been an interesting conversation we've had about the two products and the way they go about it. It's, I think in the end it's going to come down to a couple of players in cloud. It's all going to be web-based technologies. Like I said, a handful of players, and it's just working out which is going to be the best for your clients on those. But again, it's also what Owen said, you're going to have to specialize in certain providers. You can't be great at all of them. You can be great at one or two, but you can't be great at the whole collection of cloud providers out there. So it's working out which one you feel is the best and offers the best packages for your customers, and then probably specializing in those couple of providers, but always keeping an eye out to see what's coming around the corner to look to and potentially move to in the future.
Good advice. Owen, if we can turn to you.
Well, what I found interesting about this little conversation is the fact that, you know, the title said it all. I think if anybody looked at it, they'd expect it to be, you know, four guys sitting here beating each other up. The interesting point is that we've actually, probably the four of us, have reached a stage where we're mature enough to realize that it's a solution. It really is. In the end, it's the customer. It's not me. And perhaps that's the point that we need to get across to the rest of the MSPs and the resellers out there, is there's life after Microsoft on-premise, and there's life after IBM on-premise. It's in the cloud. And if Microsoft are moving in that direction, IBM are moving in that direction with their cloud sphere, it's where we've got to be. It's all there is to it.
Absolutely. Robert?
It's been fun.
I think at the end of the day, there's nothing but opportunity.
Yep.
It's strange to me that that very few people see it. But again, that's part of, you know, the early adopters or whatever. I think, you know, Mark Twain basically said, you know, when you're on the side of the majority, it's time to pause and reflect that maybe that's not the right thing to do. You don't make money doing what everybody else is doing. Okay, so again, most people are still looking at on-prem and they're doing all this sort of stuff. You know what? If you're a business and you want to make money, there's never been more opportunity, because there's an inflection point now in the technology, and you could take your skills and say, you know what? I'm going to be the project expert. I'm going to work out I'm going to be an expert in all the project management software and recommend that to my client, and then I'm going to sell that. I'm going to specialize in CRM. I'm going to specialize in doing high-end Exchange. But you know what? There's no money to be made in just doing standard migrations of 10 users. You know, 1,000, 10,000 users, yep, great money in that. That's volume. Okay? If you want to compete as utility, there's volume, and most resellers will never get to that volume. So the answer for a small reseller is specialize. And I see nothing but opportunity in so many places that is so easy to, you know, take your business model beyond the 2-hour drive that you're currently taking now. So that's what I would suggest. And my recommendation for everybody who is, you know, maybe thinking about that sort of thing, is stay out of the market, because I'm looking for all of it. If you haven't got into it now, leave it all to me.
You just made it
too late. It's all over.
My closing point would be, Robert, and I, you sort of said that jokingly, you're all good enough to give your time here today to talk about this and to share your experience. I know, having spoken to each of you in turn, that jokingly, but there's a grain of truth in this, you've said, well, I can talk about this, but I'm really pleased when people don't take my advice, because it leaves more of the market for me. And I know each of you is successful at what you're doing. And actually, I'm making good money from those people who do want to learn are approaching me, and I'm doing coaching work with them, helping them to understand how they can make money out of it. So actually, I think all four of us would agree, we're happy to give this advice. We're also a little bit tickled when people don't take it because we think more money for us.
Absolutely.
So we've come to the end of our time. I'm just going to go to each of you in turn. If you can just give, perhaps if anybody wants to get in touch with you, for those of the people who are watching it on YouTube, what's your Twitter ID, email address, blog, website, cell phone, telex, fax number, feel free to throw it out there. James Kimberley.
Okay, you can get in contact with me via www.kimberley.biz. I'm also on Twitter at Jimbo Kimbo, and the business Twitter address is Kimberley IT.
Thank you for joining us, James. Owen?
Yeah, you can reach me at wwkrsgroup.ca at pchelpdesk.ca. You beat me to it.
And for myself, I'm at www.tublog.co.uk. You can find me on Twitter at tublog as well. I'd love watching this for you to reach out to me. And I should say, all of us are on Google+, which is probably in the minority for the IT industry. But if you're watching this video and not using Google+, these guys are on Google+ every day, and you can see why I'm here, because they've got absolute nuggets of gold for you. And finally, if we can turn to Robert, if people want to get in touch with you, how would they do so?
Oh, they look at the logo. It's the CIOps.com. When I turn that off, you can see down the bottom of my see there the option to get into Twitter is at DirectorCIA. All opinions, abuse, and money happily taken.
Guys, and thank you.
As a closing note, I think Robert just Moogled us.
Isn't it called a Scroogle? Am I supposed to Scroogle you?
Right, I'm going to mercifully draw a veil over it at that point. And guys, thank you very much for your time. I really appreciate it. And I think it's a lot of fun, and we should do it again soon.
Yes, please.
Thank you, Richard.
Have a good day, all.
Take it easy, guys. Ciao.
This podcast has been brought to you by CIOps Publications. For more information, visit www.ciops.com/publications. To provide feedback on this podcast, visit www.ciops.com/contact.